Welcome to the Mo Money, Mo Progress podcast. We bring you interviews with amazing people who share advice about how to make more money and manage what you got.
Welcome to the Mo Money, Mo Progress podcast. My name is Gwen, and today we're bringing you a rebel on the show, but it's a rebel with a cause. Courtney Johnston is joining us, and Courtney is a copywriter and the CEO of the Rule Breakers Club. You might be wondering right out the gate, how the heck do you get paid for creating something called the Rule Breakers Club? Well, we're going to find that out in the interview today. And a little bit more about Courtney is she teaches spunky, inspired, creative people to communicate what they have to offer so that they can attract beautiful clients, make money, and make the planet a more fun place to live. Doesn't that sound amazing? Yes. So stick around, grab that cup of coffee or grab that notepad and get ready to take some voracious notes. So here's the interview with Courtney Johnston.
All right. Hello, Courtney. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. And hello, everybody.
Courtney, I am so excited to have the chance to interview you today. It's just been exciting to learn about you and the Rule Breakers Club. And then now we're going to find out, you know, peel back the layers and figure out how you figured out how to start your own business and actually get paid for it. So I'm thrilled about that today.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to talk about it. So I cannot wait.
Woohoo! Well, we'd like to start with a rapid fire round of questions. So I'll throw a bunch of questions at you and whatever comes to mind, let it go. And then we'll go into more of your story. So my first question for you is, what is your greatest extravagance?
So the first thing that comes to mind when you say that is I was thinking the thing I spend the most money on, which is definitely investing money in my business, but I don't really see that as an extravagance. So in terms of my personal life, I definitely say travel.
Love it. Any places that are on the bucket list that you're going to?
Yeah, well, I have sort of a travel routine because I have family all over and my boyfriend happens to be in Montreal and my mom is in San Francisco. So I've got people on either side of the continent. So I've been going back and forth to those places, but every year we try to do something a little bit more international than the US and Canada.
So those are two amazing places, I just have to say.
Yeah, no, I don't really get bored of them. So I'm good with that for now.
What is the first thing that comes to mind when you hear the word money?
Freedom.
Ooh, I love it. Yeah. What is your favorite financial tool or app that you use to help you with money?
Yeah, so I'm pretty simple. I got set up on my mom created for me a Excel spreadsheet, like a really simple spreadsheet several years ago. And I think when I graduated from college and I was like freaking out that I didn't know anything about money, and she's an accountant, she's great at that. So I used to have a phobia of Excel and I started with a really simple spreadsheet and now I'm like making more complicated ones. And I just think I haven't really found an app that I like as much as the real simple Excel spreadsheet. So that's it for me.
That's so funny. I hear that often, that it's like, you know what, there's all this stuff, but an Excel spreadsheet.
Keep it simple, man.
Ooh, I love that. What is something that you patiently saved up for to buy?
I would say travel. And I actually have automatic savings for travel that takes money out of my account every month. All my savings is automated and travel is such a big priority for me. And it started, I think, when I graduated from college in 2009 and I started saving for airfare to move to France. So that was pretty exciting.
I love that you have the automated savings for travel. That just shows, you know, how
it's important, then you gotta do it, right?
Oh, I love that. What is your favorite book or resource that you use that's a financial book or resource?
I would say I have so many because I just love reading books about money and personal finance and business and all that all the time. But I really loved Ramit Sethi's I Will Teach You How to Be Rich, or I Will Teach You to Be Rich. I think that's one I have on Kindle and in heart, or, you know, the actual book. And I buy it for like all my family members. So I think that's probably my favorite.
It's so good. And he's such a like tell it like it is kind of guy.
Ugh,
like,
okay, I know.
I'll do it. I'll do whatever you say.
Love
to lower
the style.
My phone bill.
right, exactly.
And if you were gifted $10,000 today, just out of the blue, totally no strings attached, what would you do with it?
I would definitely invest it in my business, hands down.
Love it. You seem very, very focused on the business, of course, which is doing extremely well from what I'm seeing. So
yeah.
I love to hear that. So now I'd love to ask you, let's pull it back a couple years. Tell us about your experience with getting your first real job. real in like air quotes out of
yeah,
college.
I know, because I'm not really, I have never really had a full-time salaried, like contracted position, or I don't even know the terms, because I've never had benefits, or I don't get like vacation days. Like when people tell me, oh, I don't have any more vacation days, I don't understand the concept because I've never had those things. So I'm kind of a weirdo, because when I, well, like I said, when I graduated college, it was the middle of the recession. It was like the worst time possible to be getting out of school. And I had I have a French degree. So it's not like I had this like really marketable degree. It was like, okay, what am I going to do with this? So I couldn't get a job anywhere. And I ended up getting really lucky. I think it was my first actual success in manifesting something. Mm-hmm. And I got a job working for a company that was worked with teaching children with learning disabilities how to succeed at reading and math and all kinds of stuff. And it's actually really amazing work. And I use a lot of the stuff I learned there in my business today. But yeah, I really, really, really hated it because it was so structured and regimented, and everything I did was scripted. And I was given the position of a manager, and I still had a woman above me who would come once a week to my office, the school where I was working. And she'd come, you know, to check all my work and all that, which is very normal. But she would basically redo everything I'd already done. And I was dying inside. I actually ended up having a really bad anxiety attack and decided to quit the job because I just couldn't handle it. And long story short, I ended up moving back to France and doing some soul searching for several months there to realize that I wanted to actually start my own business.
Wow. I know a lot of the listeners will be in that soul searching phase where they're like, okay, I haven't figured out that thing that I really want to do yet. So I'm curious about how you navigated that, and also how did you figure out how to live and get paid in that phase of, I don't know what I'm doing right now.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people say, oh, I always dreamed of being an entrepreneur. And that's just not true for me. I always dreamed of being creative. I was always imagining things in my head and putting on productions and getting all the kids in the neighborhood to like follow my visions and stuff. But I never wanted to have a business. That actually, I had a friend in when I was at school who she was in the entrepreneurship club, and I remember this because I thought, that's the weirdest thing ever. Why? That sounds like so much work. Why would you ever do that? And so it's funny because I think I just became an entrepreneur by default. I didn't want a job, and I had to, and then I sort of realized, oh, that's why people have jobs. They need money. So when I was in France, I didn't have a work visa. So I just sort of had to figure out ways to make money. So I was tutoring students in the US on Skype. I was tutoring them in French and writing while I was in France. So I'd be up at like 3 a.m. on Skype with kids when it was the afternoon in the US. I also was I was tutoring English to French people and just doing a lot of like nannying and babysitting. And I think I realized, you know what? I'm being scrappy. I can figure out how to make money. And it was just a really slow process of realizing I need to figure out how to make this a little bit more sustainable. And I was really interested. I'd been blogging while I was in France just about, you know, my experiences living in France as an expat, and I'd really enjoyed that. And it just was a really slow evolution to then launching a service. And it was terrifying, right? It was absolutely terrifying, but it's been a very slow growth from there. So just following moment by moment, doing what feels right in that moment, I would say is how the Rule Breakers Club came to be.
I am going to go right into the Rule Breakers Club. I just have to ask you this. So you're in France, you have a skill, you can tutor. How did you figure out, because I believe I read this right, but I just want to make sure I'm clear on this. Like, how did you actually put yourself out there, figure out how much people would pay you, and actually get paid? You know, you're in France, they're in America.
Like, yeah, no, it was, you know, it wasn't anything like it is today. I actually wasn't. So right now I'm doing copywriting, which for anyone who doesn't know, I help other online business owners and people like me, passionate entrepreneurs, to write content and copy for their websites that actually is strategic to have a business online, to build relationships with new prospects and actually have sales and things like that online. And so I wasn't doing anything like that back then because I didn't really even know what that was. What I knew was that I loved psychology. I loved people. I loved writing. And what I decided to do was my first service, which was helping job seekers create resumes. And I whenever I started a new service back then, I don't do this anymore because I've been doing what I'm doing for so long. But for a few years, whenever I would start a new venture, I'd always take a few beta clients and do their services for free in exchange for feedback and testimonials and things like that. And so I think I did 3 resumes of people I knew who were looking for jobs or might be interested in and did their resumes for free. And then I launched the service and I think I was charging like $25 or $50. It was outrageously cheap. I had no idea what I was doing. I just wanted to get it out there. So it worked. You know, obviously it was so cheap. People were like, yeah, I'll pay $25, $50 for you to do my resume. So I slowly started increasing the prices and eventually got to a point where I realized I really hated doing resumes. And the irony was I didn't even have my own resume because I never had a job.
That's hilarious.
I was really good at it. I was getting people jobs. I think like 90% of my clients would immediately get an interview after I did their resume. I mean, it was crazy, but I was really out of alignment because I didn't like doing it. It was really tedious work. So going into writing for online is basically the same thing as doing resumes. It's the business marketing themselves to clients. And with resumes, it's just the job seekers marketing themselves to businesses. So it was a pretty natural transition after I took some courses and gained the skills to make that transition.
Yeah. One thing that's just a curiosity I'm wondering about is because I know a lot of young women that have a service that they offer, whether it is writing or editing or creating content, and they haven't locked down how it works to actually get paid, or they wait, or they wait because it's like, oh, I don't want to, you know, ask for the money right away, you know? So what would you suggest on that?
I know it's hard because I'm realizing as you're saying that how far I've come. Like now I'm the one preaching this stuff, but... But, you know, 6 years ago, asking people to pay me to do something, I felt like they're going to know I'm just stealing from them and I'm a fraud and, you know, just terrible things. Nobody's thinking that, by the way. Like, it's amazing when you decide you do something. Like, when I decided I'm doing resumes, I just announced it on my personal Facebook page to my friends and family. And people just accept. Once you say you're doing something, they just accept that that's what you do. They don't really question it. No one comes to you and is like, you know, I saw that you say you're doing this, but I don't really believe you. Like nobody, that doesn't happen. So it's about just faking it till you make it and doing small actions to put yourself out there. So if you haven't announced to your friends and family what you're doing, I think that's a really good first step. It's not about, you know, creating some huge marketing campaign. You'll get there in a few years or however long it takes, but just, you know, yeah, you need to decide your prices. And I think we're going to get to that, but you decide your prices and then you need to create, you know, whatever your invoicing system is. And I, to this day, actually just have recently switched over, but I have used PayPal for a long time. It's free. You just go and you invoice someone for the amount. And so you can set that up pretty nicely. It's not a huge hassle. And you just start getting in the habit of doing those invoices and having that moment where you're having a conversation with someone and they're saying, yeah, I want to do this. And you say, okay, here are the next steps to get signed up. I need you to sign this contract. I need you to, and I'll send you an invoice and I need that to be paid. And then I'll send over the pre-work that you need in order to start the service. So you just need to have that script, because if you don't, it'll be too awkward and you'll never actually get people signed up, and they'll just be waiting for you to give them the go and you're not doing it. So you're just leaving that money in the ether.
Oh my God. I think that is so helpful. And I know like I've been on both sides, but being on the side of actually paying somebody who I know is up and coming and, you know, has done great work for me, it feels so great to pay someone.
Yes.
For their work.
People are feeling equal on the other side. Like they're not paying you enough. Like they feel grateful. So I think we need to work on letting all that stuff go. And like I said, just take a small action that's a little scary. A big theme for me this year is to be outside of my comfort zone a lot, because I want to grow a lot. And I know that means doing scary things. And so it might mean raising your prices. It might mean just declaring what you do. It might mean, you know, putting together a website or actually, you know, doing some guest blogging or whatever it is, or applying for a new job. job to just take those actions you know you need to take, but you've been avoiding.
Oh, yes. Stop avoiding. Just dive right into the resistance. I'm telling you, that's where the real joy can come from. So I'd love to ask you, tell us about the Rule Breakers Club. You know, what is it? Because I feel like a lot of the ladies listening to this podcast will be like, wait, what is this? I'm a rule breaker. How do I get in on this?
And all right, really great job with the naming, which the Rule Breakers Club, the way it got named was I was starting my business in Paris. I was living in this room, like this, it's called a maid's quarters. Like it's the top room in an apartment building. And I was in the center of the city. It was absolutely gorgeous, but I was in this tiny little room. I actually did have a view of the Eiffel Tower. So it was amazing, but I'm sitting there and I'm like, I need to make money. And I don't know where I'm going to be in 3 years, but what I do know is that what I want to have a constant reminder of for myself is how I feel in this moment, which is I'm doing something a little bit crazy. I just bought a one-way ticket to France. I'm having an adventure. I'm doing what I'm passionate about. Even if I'm scared, I'm just going for it. I'm living large, right? I'm not, you know, life's short. I won't get into it, but I had quite a few family members die while I was in college, and it was a really big wake-up call, which is why I think I became so passionate about, like, life's short. I need to go do all this stuff. And I just always wanted to have a constant reminder of that. And that's why I named my business the Rule Breakers Club, because I want to not only be reminding myself for the rest of my life what my mission is and who I am, but I want to be constantly reminding everyone I come in contact with. So that's really the brand, right? But the actual business is, like I said, I now am working with mostly women. I love working with women entrepreneurs and young women who are, you know, who are really breaking the status quo, because it's a lot scarier, or maybe it's not scarier, but I think it's really scary when you're young, because you don't know what you're doing. You don't have a ton of experience. So I love supporting that, because that's where I came from, and helping women to realize what you actually need to put on a website when you're trying to start a business. What do you need to put on an about page? What do you need to put on a work with me page? How do you send emails to people? How do you build your list? All that kind of stuff. So that's really what I'm doing now, is specifically helping people create all of that copy and all that content for their websites.
Oh man, that's amazing. What would you say is like your ideal client? You know what I mean? Like if someone listening today is like, oh, I wonder if that's for me. Describe who this lovely lady is who would be perfect to work with you.
Yeah, so I have a few levels. I would say anyone just getting started, I have a lot of great resources and a lot of blog content that you get if you go to the website, but that helps people to get started, because I really want to help people overcome that barrier of just getting started. Then I'd say the next level of people I work with is people who have, okay, I've got this website, I'm working on this business, I've had a few clients, but now I need it to be much more strategic. I'm realizing how much potential this has, and I need more training. So then I actually have a course where I teach people how to do that stuff. And so those are the kinds of people who are great for that. And I'd say on a third level, I work with entrepreneurs who are making, you know, like multiple 5-6 figures a year with their businesses. And they're really into the point where they're leveraging and doing really big marketing campaigns and doing e-courses and more scalable online products. So at all of those levels and in between, that's where I'm helping people out. But the common thread is that these are women who have big dreams and are passionate and want to break the rules. They want to make their own life rules. And I'd say that's the constant through all levels of people that I work with.
I love it. And your clarity on exactly who you're working with is really inspiring. Mm-hmm. What would you say has been the most surprising just thing that's happened to you on your entrepreneurial journey with the Rule Breakers Club?
Wow, that's a good question. Everything's surprising, I think. I think what I had to realize last year, a big realization I had, was it's always going to be the unknown, because if you're an entrepreneur, by definition, you're taking on things that have never been done before. So while I think the best thing you can do is have great mentors and surround yourself with people who are also doing that, but you're by definition going to be doing things that are new. You're going to be creating things that haven't been created. So that's always scary. And I would say secondly, realizing that at each new level, there's never a point where it's like, oh, I've reached my level of success now, I'm just going to coast. Like, that's not a thing. It gets harder and harder as you go, but you fall more and more in love with it, and you get better and better at accepting challenges faster. And I think entrepreneurship is the best personal development tool you'll ever have. It's, I think, the best way to just get the most out of life and become the person, tap into your full potential as a human being. I just think there's nothing else like it.
You have so much passion for what you do. And I know there will be people listening who know they have that potential, but they're not really sure where to start or what service to offer. So what would you suggest to people who are in that position right now?
Yeah, so there's three things I suggest doing, and I have a worksheet on this somewhere, but that the first thing you need to do is ask yourself, what kinds of things do I love to do? And you have to take time to get really honest about this. This is not something that's going to happen in a day. This isn't something that, you know, you can do a 5-second worksheet and be like, oh, here's what I'm going to do. You know, it's this takes, you need to carry these ideas around with you for a long time and let them simmer and grow and tweak them over time. And it's always going to be changing. But the first thing to ask yourself is, what do I absolutely love doing? And just totally forget while you're asking yourself this question, like, will people pay me money for this? Am I any good at this? Things like that. Just all types of things that you love to do and would really do, like, what do you do in your free time? What kind of hobbies do you have? You know, what do you like to spend your time doing? And this is actually can be a really hard question for people. So understanding that, spend some time with it. The second thing I would ask you to ask yourself is, what are you really good at? What have you always been good at? What do people come to you for advice for? Like, what kind of questions do you get? And something you really should do here is actually go out and ask 10 to 20 people, what do you think I'm good at? Mm-hmm. And ask them to be specific, because otherwise they'll be like, well, you have a nice smile and you're really nice. Like, you need to be like, really, I'm trying to figure out. You know, it's always hard to see yourself because the things you're good at, you're just good at. And so you just think everyone's good at them, and that's not the case. I always thought everyone's great at writing and everyone gets psychology and like how to write things in a way that like gets people to do stuff, right? Like, but they're not. And so that's something that I realized I have a natural competence for, but that I also need to dive into training for that so that I can actually become a master at it. So to make a list of all the things you're really good at, and you can write silly things like, you know, I'm really good at, you know, writing jokes to my friends in text messages. Like, it can be anything. You're not really thinking about the marketability of your skills at this point. It's just like your skills. And then the last column then is to ask yourself, is there a way I can combine these things that could provide a service that would solve a problem for people or would provide something that people might actually need? So then you're actually asking, you know, where does this overlap with how I can be of service? And that's where business comes in. Is the beauty of business is that it's an opportunity to create solutions, or even if it's not solutions, like I have this problem and I need a solution, it's creating beautiful things to make the world a better, happier, more exciting, funnier place for the people who want those things. So what kinds of people would value what you have to offer? And again, you can go out and ask people this question too. You don't need to do all this stuff by yourself, and nor should you, because you'll get a lot more creativity when you actually collaborate with people and see what they have to say.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to have to like re-listen to what you're saying and just be like, okay, Courtney said to do this. No, it's such great advice. And I'd love to ask you, so how many years have you officially, would you say, been in business at this point?
Yeah, I hate that question because I don't have I'm not like angry, but
like, this is over.
I know people have this like business anniversary and they'll be like, my business has been around for this long. And I don't really have that because I feel like mine's been such a slow evolution. Mm-hmm. And I never really do things very officially. I especially in the beginning, I would have an idea and I'd be spontaneous and I'd execute it like that week without any sort of big picture long-term plan, which I'm learning to do a little bit more strategically now. But I would say the Rule Breakers Club came into being in August of 2011, but I didn't start doing the sort of iteration of it now as a copywriting business and copywriting and training business until probably a year later. So probably August of 2012. So two and a half years.
I think it's really just interesting to hear that because sometimes when you go to someone's website for the first time, you know, In my mind, at least, it looks like, oh, they must have figured this out in a couple months, you know, launched it quickly. And it's just great to hear how the evolution and how it's been a few years to really get things cooking in a great way.
Nothing's overnight, right? Like, everything takes time. I learn a new skill every day and you'll see that skill, you know, in 5 years and I'll be a pro at it, but I didn't know it yesterday, right? So just keep learning, keep growing.
Yes. Speaking of learning, what would you say if you could go back to when you were first starting your business, what's one piece of money advice that you'd want to tell yourself back then that you've learned over the last few years?
Yeah. Okay. That's really hard. I would say, oh, such a good question. I would say to number one, to do it my way, that I need to be real with myself. What is the reality of my money and what's the reality of my situation? Because sometimes I pretend I have more money than I do. But to also realize, like, I get to do it my way. So if I don't like this certain budgeting tactic, I don't have to do it that way. I can tweak it in a way that works for me. And that if you fall off the horse with your budget or your money plan or whatever, that to just get back on. Because if you fall into this, like, well, the budget's ruined now, I might as well spend this money on this, it's just going to get so much worse. So wherever you're at, just get back on today and just make a small tweak today to that your future self will thank you for.
So true. Say, this might be a bit of a hard question, but say someone is listening to this and they're like, I have nothing to get back on to. Like, I am just a mess, but I know I'm like, money is coming in and I'm just trying to figure it out. Where would you suggest, like, what's one action that listeners can take to start getting their finances in order?
Yeah, clarity. So the number one thing people do is they avoid looking at their finances. And even if you don't think you are, you probably have things you don't know about. And that's what's scary. It feels like this, I don't know, for me, it feels like this just hole in the pit of your stomach kind of, oh my God, I don't even want to look. So I think that you need to set up a date with yourself and make it fun. I always try to make these things fun. I like light candles and listen to music and get my PJs and make my tea and all that kind of stuff. You could, like, you know, open up a bottle of wine or something, and just, you need to use some sort of tool. And I think there's some great books out there. Every book will start off by telling you to get clear on what your situation is. Any sort of Susie Orman or Ramit Sethi or whoever is going to tell you that. So you need to get clear about what's your situation. How much money do you have? How much debt do you have? Where is all the debt? Where are all the things? Do you have student loans? You know, do you owe family members? And there's some great tools to help you do that. But that's the first action you need to take. It's the scariest, but you have to do it, because it's just, it'll empower you. Then you'll have the information. Then you can actually move forward, but you can't do anything until you know the situation.
I am so happy you shared that advice, because I am in 100% agreement. And I know, like, personally, just with going through school and paying for school with scholarships, but student loans as well, I was so terrified to just know how much money did I owe on my student loan. I'm like, I don't want to look at that because it's going to make me throw up. But so I avoided it for a while. And then when I actually, you know, made the phone call to say, how much money do I owe? I was actually shocked to find that it was way less than I thought it was. So for years, I was like, just so stressed out about this. And oh my God.
Yeah. And then especially even if it's more than you think, and then you move into making a plan, then you can see, you know, then you can see what actions you need to take to make it manageable. And then you'll feel like, okay, I can do this. Like, you know, and it, you have to do it eventually, right? Like, there's no choice.
Yeah.
You have to. So you might as well start now.
Exactly. And I really like your advice too of, you know, getting comfortable, making yourself tea. If you want a little bit of wine, okay, not the whole bottle, ladies.
I never look at my money if I didn't have some sort of like dance party around it. So
that's so true, because I find, you know, even if you're doing it for the first time, it's chances are you're going to be angry. You're going to be sad if, you know, it's like you find out you owe a lot of money. So like, I find being by yourself and being in a space where it's okay to cry or to like punch a pillow or something is really, really helpful. So I really appreciate that.
I might just add on top of that to something that really helped me, because I did have a lot of student debt. So something that really helped me was to go into a state of gratitude that debt is there because you received something in return, and to really be thankful and say thanks for the thing that you actually received for that. That can turn it back, because you see the debt and it's just money that you owe, but you received things for that money. And now if there are fees and things like that, okay, well, maybe that's something we need to learn, is not to incur fees, but to really, or even with the fees, it's, you know, you're paying for the use of the card, right? That allowed you to get the things. So it's not saying that debt, I'm encouraging credit card debt, right? Anything like that, but that once it's there, to remind yourself, you know, you did the best you could in the situation. You bought the thing or you paid for the thing, and you're grateful for whatever it is that you purchased.
That is such great advice, because sometimes you get resentful. You're like, why am I paying this fee? It's like, well, you have access to like virtual money on a credit card. Like, it's a service. So that's a really good point. I have so many questions for you, but I want to make sure that you're able to share any messages that maybe I didn't ask you something so far, but you really wanted to share this, whether it's about money or following your passion, starting your business. What are any kind of final thoughts you have on money or business?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much I could say, right? I could go on for days and write books on this, but...
And you will.
Yeah, totally. And I have. But I think that what I would say is that wherever, and I think what the listeners really need to hear is, and what I would have need to hear is that wherever you're at right now, you're perfect. You're exactly where you need to be. And that you can see people who seem like they're up on this pedestal and they're doing all these great things and their money's in order, their business is doing great. And that at one point they were exactly where you are. And maybe they were even, you know, in a worse situation or a harder situation, and maybe not, but that you can get wherever you want to go. You just have to start with where you are now and use the tools that you have right now just to take one step forward. That's all you need to do.
Oh, that's such good advice. It's kind of like a breath of fresh air. Like, just start where you are, everyone. And Courtney, how can everyone connect with you, learn more about you, find out how to work with you? What's the best way?
You can visit me at rulebreakersclub.com. So that's my home base on the internet and a great place to find me.
Thank you so much for your time today, Courtney. It has been so great, so energizing to talk to you.
Aw, thanks. Thanks for having me. It was fun.
Thank you for listening. To find more interviews and tips to help you make Mo money, go to momoneymoprogress.com.